singing this morning. Amen. So good to see so many of my family here this morning. So excited to have you here. My niece is here for the very first time. I think I saw her in there. Did you bring my niece, my brother? Okay, I see other babies then. Bringing in other babies. Sorry, brother. I see my cousin Ariana here for the first time. I appreciate having you here as well. Amen. Amen. We come to have a good time in the Lord this morning. It's great to have the band all here today. You know, we got a new member, Brother Mark, a new member. You know, you go see like Boys and Men, and somebody you don't recognize from the group before. But I'm happy to have you here this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm excited about the word of the Lord this morning. So, you know, we're going to be dealing with Mark 5 and 25. We're going to start off a little bit different. See, sometimes when people are reminiscing about the past, you have no idea what is fact or what is just sensationalized.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, this is our parents. You know, they went to school uphill both ways, right? In snow and all that kind of good stuff. Or Al Bundy's 4 touchdowns in 1 game. So you don't know what is history or what is history, right?
Oh, man.
See, what I'm about to tell you is a little bit of both. See, it's written because it's sensationalized a little bit, but it is a fact. So it's a little bit of both. It's history and it's his story, amen?
Okay.
This is not a story about what is right or wrong. It's not a story about what it should or shouldn't, right? It is a story about what happened to me. And that's it, right? So don't get caught up into agree or disagree, or sin or not sin. Just enjoy the story and let's have a good time in the Lord this morning, amen? Amen. So here we go. April 2003, I'm in a casino in Marquette, Michigan. How many great stories start off like that? I'm in a casino in Marquette, Michigan, and I was the center of attention in a place where there are so many things to distract you, right? But I owned that moment, amen?
Amen.
Amen. This day, people stopped gambling at their own tables to come watch me gamble.
Wow.
Right? I was scorching hot. When I tell you I was scorching hot, I was. Looks like the book that I read a couple weeks earlier on how to shoot craps was paying off. I was making money for other people and making money for me. Right? Strangers were saying the most unbelievable things. They're like, this is the luckiest guy I ever met. Right? See, I had never really won at a casino at that point. Right? A few $100 was the most I had won at a casino, but this day was different. Never mind the fact that I had been on a brutal losing streak as I was going every day and the same result was happening. The losses were piling up that I was somewhere between broke and bankrupt, right? Depending on who you ask, right? Before we get to me rolling the dice, let's go to the beginning of the story so you can understand what had transpired up to that point. I had just cleaned out my bank account, and the last $500 of my bill money was with me, right? See, I was on a mission to solve these money problems that I had created for gambling every day for about 30 to 40 days straight.
Wow.
See, I was in my second semester of grad school, and I worked full-time. Through most of the undergrad, I worked full-time. So theoretically, I should not have had time to be taking a second job at the casino, but I did, right? But I ask you this morning, are you using your time wisely? See, you notice our priorities are messed up a lot of times because we say, we don't have time for this. We don't have time for that. You notice that only comes up when it's something that we should be doing?
Come on now.
Like working out, or quality time with family, or eating healthy, or reaching out to friends. See, we don't have time for things like that. We always say we don't have time, but I made time for the casino, and we make time for all the things we should do in life, amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, I'm guilty of this even today as far as my time. See, I have, I'm so busy with work, but sometimes I give myself an excuse. See, my mom's birthday was July 3rd, and I haven't even been to see her yet. right? Am I using my time wisely? No, I'm not, right? And a lot of times we get caught up in things because we start to put more importance on things than what should be happening. Amen? Okay, so now I've got on myself. I preach to myself. That's all the preaching I'm going to do to myself today. The rest of it is you, baby. So you got to own it. I ain't preaching to myself no more. Okay, so back to the story. After emptying my bank account, the mission was clear. And I could not have felt any better or optimistic going in, right? Marty, the security guard at the casino, that was my boy, greeted me as I entered the door, right? I walked past the slot machines that were whistling because I knew my destination. I'm going back to this craps table because today is the day. See, this would be the table where I could not lose at because to put things in its simplest terms, I couldn't afford to lose. I couldn't afford to. Surely my luck had turned because no one could lose as much as I had been losing. Surely all of the tithing envelopes I had taken and all the envelopes I had taken, surely they were going to pay off today. Aren't that what those envelopes are for? And those gotta have it moments? See, that's how we treat them, right? We take an envelope like, God, you remember I gave it back to you in 1999. I gave you my last. Now it's time for it to come through. So I was on that mission. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were desperate for a certain outcome? You have allowed yourself to get so focused on what you do not have that you started looking for it hard and keep on digging a hole. My hole went from tiny to mountainous this day. I mean, the situation changed my behavior, and it might change your behavior so much that the person staring back at you in the mirror looks the same, but people have no clue what you're going through.
Come on.
See, it could be addiction, could be relationships, depression, or whatever it is you're going through. You have changed so much because you're fixated on the outcome. You have left no room for God to move because you have tunnel vision on what's needed. That's where I was, right? Okay, so back to the story. I get the dice and I proceed on the roll of a lifetime. See, my little brother had seen me gamble plenty of times growing up. So that was a pastime in the house, but in a casino is where I was today. And for 48 minutes, I had these dice. It was one of the longest streaks they had seen in this casino, right? So I was so happy, I couldn't believe it. I took my chips up to the cashier as I stood there, and I couldn't believe it. She got the $2,000. I'm like, $2,000? Right, she had a lot more to go. I'm like, okay, well, keep on going, sister. Right? So she got the $5,000, and I'm like, whoa. My jaw was on the floor. Like, they had to help me take my chips up to the cashier. I was so happy. Right? After all was said and done, I had $8,985. More money than I ever had in my life up until that point. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy. The gotta have it moment was awesome. It was fulfilled. It was literally, for me, a rags to riches story. Right? Because I had nothing. I emptied out my bank account and I was there. So, this would be a great story if this was the end of the story. So I got to my car. It's the 1994 Saturday. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. After I celebrated in the car, I was fist pumping. I was grabbing the steering wheel like, yes, yes. I was so happy. And so I got in my car and I was thinking like, man, I got more money in my pocket than my car worth. That was a good feeling. Right? So I grab my car. I get in the car and I get to the edge of the parking lot. And I said, you know what? Today is my day. So I did a U-turn. Turn back. Oh. I said, today is my day. They got some more of my money in there. So I didn't even make it past out of the parking lot. I did a U-turn. Went back in past Marty. Like, hey, what's up, man? I'm going back. Go back there. The people were celebrating. They're like, yeah, our guy is back. Right? I proceeded to lose $9,385 in a little bit over an hour. So I know what you might be asking yourself. How in the world you clean out your bank account? How in the world you lose more money than you went in with? Because back then, a casino would take a check for $400. So I did my $8,985 plus the $400 that I knew was going to bounce and probably still bouncing in a little over 1 hour. My life's fortune. See, I know what you might be asking yourself, like, man, is this guy crazy? But see, that's what happens when we operate in desperation. I know ain't nobody else been there before. I know you ain't going to tell on yourself today. I mean, you might as well tell on yourself, because these two numbers I put up here, some of y'all going to play in the lottery today. Listen, don't play with me, I already know. Right? While y'all sitting there like, this guy. So at this point, I don't know if you've ever been to this place. Let me introduce you to it if you haven't. It's called Rock Bottom.
Yeah.
It's called Rock Bottom. See, I'm in disbelief because I was rich in my mind at one point an hour ago. So I go to Marty, the security guard. I tell him, man, I need to ban myself. I can't come back to this place. So I get in my car. I cry uncontrollably. I don't cry a lot or barely, rarely often. I don't cry easily as well. Now I'm beginning to, at that moment, see, at Rock Bottom is when you begin to talk to God. Right? Because you're out of options. You don't have no options. So at Rock Bottom, so I begin to tell God how powerful he is. In the car, in the casino parking lot. Right? There was a little bit of blame in there. So I said, God, just one touch from you, I could be leaving with $100,000. Instead, I'm leaving with no money and $400 that I am with my bill money that was in. You might find a similar story where you talk to God, you reminded him all you needed is a touch from him. You ever reminded God all you need is a touch from him?
Yes, Lord.
That he can do anything, that he's in control. But I'm here to tell you, you don't need a touch from God. What you need this morning is to touch him. So you've been praying for a touch from God, but you need to reach out and touch him. See, we're going to be in Mark 5:25 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. So while you're turning there, let me set the stage. Jesus was on his way to see one of the leaders of the synagogue's daughter because at her father's request, Jairus. He came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. Can you go and pray for her? Touch her. Right? And so in verse 25, it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. See, this woman had a problem for 12 years. How many had a problem longer than that? Sometimes you have problems that might be a year that feel like 12 years. You know? Some of it might be spiritual, could be physical, it could be financial, but he had problems. And here's the thing about this woman's identity. She's identified by her problem. We don't have her name. It's like that woman with the issue of blood. See, you might be identified by your problems this morning. It might be the guy with the spots on his hands.
Come on now.
Or it might be the cancer lady.
Come on.
Right?
Now.
But see, we can't let that identity take root. See, your problem today might be self-inflicted, and it might not. But see, here's the thing about problems. When you at rock bottom, you don't care whether you got yourself into it or if it was something you couldn't help. You just want to get out of it. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And in verse 26, it says, and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. See, this woman had many treatments from doctors. She spent all she had searching for a cure. I don't know if you've been searching today, and you've done all everything you can in your own power to be able to get to where you need to get to. See, I'm guilty of that too. I'm guilty of it. See, when I have a problem, I said I wouldn't go preach at myself anymore, but I guess I will tell on myself some more. See, when I got a problem, I try to think of everything I can to figure it out. I'm like, God, you got some other stuff going on. Let me see. I got this one. And a lot of times, I ain't got it. I mean, I can put something on it. But I ain't got it.
Come on, God.
See, we search for a solution. This woman, she went to the doctors. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. But you can't have your faith so caught up that the doctor is the treatment and not Jesus.
Come on now.
She had issues. Think about it. She wanted to get better. Some of you are desperate to get whatever situation you're in, you're desperate to get out of it. And maybe you turn to things that you should do, and maybe you turn to things that you shouldn't, but your issue has not been solved at this point. But see, in verse 27, it says, when she heard of Jesus. See, when she heard of Jesus, she knew she had another option. She said, hey, it says in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. See, when you're out of options and at rock bottom, the only name that matters is Jesus. Yeah. Nothing else matters. See, that's how you know you're at rock bottom when that happens. That all of a sudden that name means more than it ever meant before.
Yeah.
Just saying the name Jesus, you're like, all right. Now see, the fascinating thing about this lady, up until this point, this woman with the issue of blood, this nameless person in the Bible, the interesting thing, there was nothing in the Bible now or before that shows that somebody hadn't been touched to get a miracle. She did the actual touching. See, there was no proof that you could do the actual touching at this point and get a miracle. So she did something a little bit different. Because her faith says something a little bit different. So you might be doing the same thing that you've been doing over and over again, but Jesus is looking for some people that's going to step out and start to reach. And not just sit still and wait. I know you're like, well, it says wait upon the Lord, but it also says you can touch the hem of his garment.
Come on.
See, you've been waiting long enough. It's time for your faith to start rising up. It's time to have faith in action. And she had no proof at all that this would work or even a good idea. She didn't know. If you look at verse 28, she says, for she said, if I may but... See, look at how faith works.
Come on.
She knew Jesus would solve her issues, that she had been to doctor after doctor, bankrupted herself to be able to do this thing. We're looking for some people to stop doing the same old things today. Amen? Amen. And in verse 29, it says, and straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Now, you notice she didn't go to the doctor to get confirmation that she was healed. She knew that she was healed in that moment. See, I wish I had somebody to just reach out and touch her one time for me this morning. You gotta reach out and touch her for yourself. Can't nobody else do it for you. You gotta reach out and touch Jesus yourself this morning. The scripture didn't say she booked an appointment and 3 days later she found out she was healed. It said straightway. Straightway she was healed. All her blood was dried up. It didn't say she needed three people to say, oh, you look better. Oh, you walk better. Oh, you talk better. It didn't say that. It said straightway. The fountain of her blood was dried.
Thank you, Jesus.
She knew it. That's what faith will do.
Yes.
It's time for straightway blessings here this morning. Amen.
Yeah,
you might be waiting, and you might be just like her. You might be just like me.
Hallelujah.
But straightway, your miracle can happen as well.
Amen.
So in verse 30, it says, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? See, even Jesus had to deal with the peanut gallery.
Come on.
Yeah. They like, man, all these people around you asking who touched you?
Come on now. Amen.
And you worried about somebody saying something about you?
Yeah.
See, sometimes when you get your touch, the people around you going to be looking like, what? You just touched something. How can you get healed in a touch? And the people around you might look at you a little funny because they don't understand. But you reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and straightway he made a way for you. Amen. I wish I had somebody who knew what I was talking about this morning. See, maybe you ain't hit rock bottom. See, I was in that car and I was crying all the way the 25-minute drive I had. I knew I was at rock bottom. Maybe you ain't hit rock bottom yet because you don't want to reach. But I tell you, at that point, my life was changed because I ain't to reach. I knew I had to stop waiting on the touch, and I had to do the touch. See, we can't expect everybody to understand what we're going through. Maybe you got some things going on and don't nobody know. And maybe they won't understand the straight way you've been healed. But Jesus knows.
Yeah.
And that can't stop you from reaching anyway.
Right?
It can't stop you from just touching the hem of his garment.
Yeah.
How many are ready for straight way this morning?
Yeah.
See, you got used to that infirmity, wherever it is, for 12 years, or 3 years, or 6 months. You can get used to anything. But straightway, Jesus can make a way for you.
Yes, he will.
Amen. Yes, he will. I love that. You might as well come on up here and preach. I like this in verse 32. It says, and he looked around to see who had done this thing. See, Jesus knew that something had happened.
Yeah.
He knew something happened. He's looking around. See, even when the people were like, you know what? All these people around Jesus, you talking about who touched you? And he's kept looking anyway. See, a lot of you have been discouraged because of what somebody said. And you stop moving. And you stop searching for what you need to get. You stop looking because somebody said, all these people around and you asking who touched you? But see, Jesus looked anyway. Look for your blessing anyway. It's time for you to search anyway. I don't care what the doctors have said. I don't care what they said to you this morning. I don't care what your sister said. I don't care that your brother, what he said. I don't care if your daddy left you, your mama wrong, you've been cussed out by 3 people, or you drive in. Straightway, he'll make a way. Look around regardless of what people are saying. See, sometimes you know something has happened and you know something is right, isn't right. And the people want to say, no, everything's okay, but your gut tells you. See, Jesus kept going anyway because they couldn't understand. See, when you get the power of the king, sometimes people can't understand it.
All right now. Come on.
They can't understand it. See, he knew something was wrong. And then the woman was fearing and trembling. See, some of you are scared to get your blessing because you're worried about what it's going to do. That's what you got to give up. What you got, Lord, I know I ain't done everything right. I mean, so maybe you should bless me. I'll feel guilty. But God is looking for some people to be bold this morning. It don't matter what you've done. Because we don't know what her life is. She could have been a complete mess. We know she went to doctors, but it don't say nothing about what was going on in her life. Who knows what she's been through? But she still had enough audacity to touch him.
Yes, hallelujah.
She had enough audacity to reach out to him. I wish I had somebody that needed a straight way blessing. See, she was fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Because she knew that things were different this day.
Yes.
She knew, and she's, think about it. She was healed, but yet she was fearful.
Yes.
She was fearful because she knew that nobody said I could do this, and I did it anyway because I want to reach out for my blessing. See, you better stop asking for permission.
Hey,
come on, and stop being so polite.
Yes.
And doing what everybody else does.
Woo!
I don't care that she didn't have a job and she put her resume in a certain company. That company not meant for you. You gotta do something a little bit different. I don't care whatever that she went to Dr. Alibaba and all of a sudden she good. Jesus is still a healer. You don't have to follow in somebody else's footsteps. You gotta reach out for yourself. See, she knew what was done, and she came and fell down before him. We need some people who will fall down before the king this morning. And she told him the truth. See, we start lying to ourselves. Sorry, mama. I'm not supposed to say lie. But we start lying to ourselves. We start lying to God like he don't know. Like, Lord, you know my heart. Man, been there, done that for sure. Right? But she told him the truth. And he said unto her, daughter. Daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. We looking for some people to have a breakthrough this morning. I don't care what plague you're going through this morning. Today is a day of breakthrough. I don't care what sickness is in your body. I don't care all the things you're going through. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Who has faith in here this morning? How many of you have faith in here this morning? Now, this lady, and I'm almost done, but I want you to think about this. There was no proof that you could just reach out and touch Jesus and be made whole. And she did, right? And you don't have to go to this, it'll be on the screen. Mark 6 and 56, I didn't bother writing it down, but here it is. It says, and whithersoever he entered into villages, we're talking about Jesus, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch it, just the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. See, this lady stood out on faith and opened the door of possibilities to other people to just reach out and touch them. Now, we didn't say some of the people that touched them. It said everybody that reached out to help was made whole. It's time for you to reach for your healing this morning. It's time for you to reach for your deliverance this morning. It's time for you to reach out and touch him. I don't care what relationship you're in. Whether it's great in God or it's not. Whether the relationship you're in at home is right or it's wrong. It's time to reach out and touch Jesus this morning. Because the person you're with doesn't dictate that. The person that you live with don't dictate that. Because this is your walk. So you have to touch Jesus for yourself. Now see, it requires something. It didn't say they laid in the streets and he walked by. It said as many as touched his garment was made whole. You gotta reach this morning. How many ready to reach this morning? How many ready to reach this morning for Jesus? Amen. And I don't care what it is you're going through. Whatever it is, I just want you to think about it this morning. Whatever it is you've been going through. And I want you to make a decision this morning about turning it over to him. Because he is a healer. He's a deliverer. See, some of you have been waiting for his touch. But it's time for you to have enough faith. When you reach out and touch just a sliver of his garment, that's all that's needed. You don't have to grab it. All you have to do is touch it. Just the lightest touch. And whatever you're going through, healing is there. Straightway, he
You look around as though some strange thing is happening to you. Then I tell you that I shall put you in fire, and I shall groom you, and I shall make you. But surely truth shall manifest itself in and out your life. All you need to do is reach out and touch me. Just my garment. You don't even have to touch my person. Just my garment. But you got to call upon me. You just can't sit there and wait on me to come sit next to you, because it will not happen. But if you call upon me, I will answer your prayer. I will deliver you. I will set you free. This is an hour where men have forgot about me. This is a day that men have forgot about me. This is a moment that men have forgot about me. But I am here to remind you that I am the great I am. I'm the healer, deliverer, the waymaker. I'm Jehovah Jireh, he who will show up alive. You need to worship me. Glorify me, saith the Lord, and I have that which you have need of in my bosom, saith God.
How many ready to praise him this morning? How many ready to just shout out for him this morning? You can't just sit there. You gotta reach. You gotta touch. You gotta grab. Jesus is waiting on you this morning. He's waiting on you to turn it over to him this morning. He's waiting on you. You don't have to be here. You can leave here different than you came here, with just a touch of his garment. Things don't have to be the same as they were when you got here. They don't have to be the same. This is your walk. This is your walk. This is your walk. Concentrate on him this morning. Concentrate on Jesus this morning. Concentrate on Jesus this morning. You might not feel excited this morning, but it's time to get joy in your spirit this morning. You might not feel like you have a reason to celebrate this morning, but it's time for joy this morning. It's time for somebody to be bold enough to reach for him. It's time for somebody bold enough to proclaim his name. It's time for somebody to be bold enough to not worry about what's going on beside you, and to know that he is the one who can do all things. Turn it over to him. I don't care what it is. Trust me, if we had all day, I got more stories about me than you can imagine. I got more. So whatever it is you're going through, you got a story as well. This woman with the issue of blood had a story. She had a story. And she was made whole because of reaching out. We need some of you to reach out. See, some of you are still sitting here and you got your little golf claps on and you're being polite. We need Jesus to reach out for us. We gotta stop the little pity pack golf clap. You know, the caviar clap. Some people that's gonna reach out and grab them this morning. See, I know if you believed it this morning, if your faith was activated this morning, you couldn't just sit here. You said, this is for somebody else. This ain't for me. I haven't been through too much. It's for somebody else. It's for you this morning if you're claiming. If your faith will walk this morning, if you'll take a step this morning. If you grab out for him, if you grab out to touch him, you'll be made whole. But you gotta reach. And sometimes it's touch. I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, don't nobody else know what's going on, but I know what's going on. You know what's going on. So I'm reaching.
Glory.